the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, and in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Dharanam, Vachami, Vityampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharamam, Dharanam, Vachami, Vityampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sahana Sarnam Vashami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dvigaha, the noble truth of suffering. Dvigaha-samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dvigaha-nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dvigaha-nirodha, gamini-patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry to correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Yudhyampi tatyampi salaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day. There must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure or undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
If you could open the rest of the windows in here.
Sure.
Turn off the stream.
Yep.
Thanks. So what shall we look at this morning? Todd.
I was looking at this morning the powerfully supportive nature of God in 20. I took the opportunity to re-listen to my three I've had so far today on a kind of continuous loop this morning. I went through them a couple times. And I just saw, first, how many things I didn't pick up the first couple times I listened through them.
Yeah, usually we're not there for it the first time.
Right, we're not there the first time. And I'm wondering how really there I'm there for the next couple times. And I was so appreciative of the guides pointing at, often in my guide's appointments, conditioning is pointing me a certain way, and I don't see the spiritual opportunities or the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And in re-listening to those guide's appointments and reflecting back on the little collection I have so far through Guidance Day with the Monks for the Monthly Donors, I have my Sherry one at San Sabina, the At Home Working Meditation ones, we have the guides appointments. So I have a little collection in a folder in my MP3 player, about a dozen or so plus. And it's so interesting now that I'm reflecting back. The content is a little different all the way through, but I'm always revisiting the same processes of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And the guides pointing at the practice and the tools and the support that I'm bringing and the perspective that the guide can see, a larger perspective that I'm gaining,
mm-hmm.
in going to those appointments and sharing usually those parts that are very vulnerable and are struggling. And more specifically, the last week and a half or so with this eye condition, I was really beautifully reminded in this last guidance appointment as conditioning went on about this little tirade of how horrible it is and how frustrating and how blah, 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 blah. And the guide said, well, what a great spiritual opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you could look at this as a great spiritual opportunity because a lot of times our medical situations with us is maybe one of our best spiritual opportunities, mm-hmm. for practice.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to see that when we were in the middle of it, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that really is the point of guidance and really of the whole all the sangha, you know, the fact that we come together and practice together, because you know we all need that.
Yes.
You know, we all, for each of us, that which is believable to us is believable to us, and we need, you know, somebody who's outside of us, you know, it's actually not much of a trick to say, you know what, there's an opportunity in that.
Yeah.
But we need that. We need that kind of reflection, because a lot of times we don't see it. We get lost in what seems true.
Yeah, oh, that's, I really like what you just said there. We get lost in what seems true, because I was going on for I think the first full minute of this last guide appointment about this whole thing, and I was just really jolting the guys. And so you have an opportunity to look at this as a spiritual opportunity, you mean? And I'm just, mm-hmm. like, wow. And I just saw conditioning had a hold of it,
mm-hmm.
and was framing it in doom, gloom, limited possibilities, you know. Projecting into the future things that I couldn't possibly know. And it was really great to re-listen to those and have that ongoing support of guidance appointments to just go back and listen to them and just see how conditioning kind of commandeers my practice from time, well, a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't. I really don't, you know, that's why I love reflective listening buddies, and I love group, and I love guidance, is that I really often don't hear what I'm saying the first time. I really don't. And I'm kind of shocked sometimes, saying, wow, I really said that, or wow, condition really had that. And I'm so appreciative of the guide pointing out to me that it's not me. It's not the authentic truth taught. And I remember one of my various early guide appointments here, it always stuck with me. The guide said, the monastery isn't confused who taught is and when condition has taught. And I really love that.
Mm-hmm.
It just, for me, it's like, wow, the monastery isn't confused. I am confused.
Right. It's interesting. It's an interesting way to look at it from just having been around the block a few times here. You know, what I notice is, in a way, the structure is such that there's no confusion about that possible. It's really what you're saying. You know, so it's even larger than the guidance. You know that because, you know, you're here for an extended stay for a couple, 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
And so you've got kind of a front row seat on, you know, how does it work in practice to support the heart against conditioning.
Yeah.
So everything about the schedule is like that.
Yeah.
So we're all, you know, practicing with this condition that's attempting to take over all the time, make things real that aren't real, talk to us about that, and cause us to suffer. And then we need something to run into that helps us to wake up to the fact that that's just conditioning and it's not real and true.
Yeah.
So we sit. You know, we do working meditation, and the focus on working meditation really is meditation,
yeah,
not the work. You know, we have guidance appointments. We eat mindfully.
Yeah.
You know, everything that we do is an attempt to assist us with that. And then sometimes, you know, we get to, like in group or in guidance, we get to talk about what's going on and get a real accurate reflection of, really, it's not even that specific. It's just, this is conditioning. You're adequate to that. There's an opportunity here. I wonder what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really just grateful for the way that the entire practice is structured, and certainly from my experience, the monastery, and it brings me back time and time again. It's the privileged environment, and like you said, the schedule and the structure, and everything that points towards the heart and away from conditioning and leads us away from suffering. Instead of, and what I find in the other world is very huge challenge is that I'm often directed towards suffering.
Right.
It takes a lot of support. For me, I got to be 24/7 signed up for everything, just be on it, or I'm in a world of suffering most of the time.
It's true.
Yeah,
and it's not, I mean, there's nothing implied in this that practice can't happen outside of the monastery at all. But I think what you're saying is really true. We need to get maximum support because here it's just built in.
Yes.
You know, everything about the place is supports that.
Yeah.
Out there, for someone who has no practice, everything about it supports distraction.
Yes.
And supports the power conditioning has over the being to manipulate the being and just produce suffering and run them into dead ends and sabotage things and make sure they're not happy and all that kind of stuff. So we need maximum support. And it's really good to look at that place where that comes from inside too. You know, that willingness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were reciting the recitation earlier, and it seems really true. That, you know, willingness is the key. Yeah, that willingness is what kind of opens up those opportunities,
yeah,
and starts to turn the world that we live in from one that is really sort of contaminated by conditioning and what it's doing to one that really supports us.
Yes. Thank you.
Alex.
This is very similar to something that I'm looking at right now, which is the place between, like, so where conditioning tries to come in and essentially what I'm doing is I'm walking this path. I'm going to use an image, walking this path, and if I stray a little bit too much to the right, the monastery will, I'll just get biofeedback in the way that says, oops, you're going over off to the right, you know, time to turn the wheel over back toward the path.
Yep.
And it's funny.
Alex, you wore your outside shoes in the dining room.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes I veer too much over in one side, and so I start heading off to the left, and I get a little bit, a little nudge this way. And it's so funny because conditioning has this way of being confused about what's going on. And so the example that I'm going to use is that there's something that I've been encouraged to do. So I do this thing, and then all of a sudden, I'm not aware of it, but there's a collusion happening with a whole cluster of parts of myself and conditioning going off doing this thing. But we're doing it in a way that is unbeknownst to the poor being. It's taken over by by conditioning, essentially, where it's like, it's, so I'm encouraged to do it, but then doing it 24/7 isn't what the encouragement was. It was to,
oh, I see.
It was to do it, mm-hmm. but not, it's not, it, it's all of who you are now all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got really good feedback at one point. It's like, perhaps you're straying over toward one side.
Right. So let me see if I'm with you. So the, like, the encouragement is, you know, you might consider doing some sitting.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah, that's a good example.
And so one side of the duality would be, no thanks.
It'd be interesting to look at who says that.
Exactly. Yeah, well, yeah, that's one side. And the other side is, okay, well, I'm going to stay up all night doing this.
That's right.
And for conditioning, both sides work.
Yeah.
Equally good. Even though they look like they're opposites, they're really the same thing. It's it's a way for conditioning to get involved with that and turn it into its opposite. So instead of something that's supportive and helpful to you, to something that's supportive and helpful to it.
That's right. And I think that what happens is that conditioning will come in and be and create a whole lot of confusion and a whole lot of stuff that distracts me away from the guidance received. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the when I first got the feedback of, you want to look at doing this all the time, and there was like such a reaction to it. It was like, but I was told to do it,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, well, hello, the being is not getting any sleep sitting 24/7, you're running into walls, you know, you're not here, the pseudo-Zen psycho person's taken over and is now running the show.
Yeah, and so now you're, you know, that quote mark's going, you're following the guidance, but in a way that completely misses the point.
Totally misses the point.
Yeah.
And so what I've watched is the flip it over into the other side too, which is like, this is too dangerous. You know, I can't be trusted off on my own.
So No sitting is bad.
Exactly. The content again. It's like it's the thing. So I need to not sit.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, whoa. Alex, what's going on?
Yeah.
You're not doing the thing you said you were going to do.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's great as you're saying that. Here's what I see for myself. It's like conditioning has these layers of defenses,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of pretty gross and clunky to really subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the first thing that comes up for me is, oh, well, that never happened.
I never said that.
Like, okay, well, you know, so I say, or we say, well, no, I think I actually did get the guidance to sit. Okay, well, we can work with that. All right, no, I don't really want to. Well, no, I really think I want to. Oh, okay, all right, well, we can work with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to do this all the time. No, I don't really want, you know, exactly. Like, so it's like keeps backing it up. I think the process you're talking about is seeing through those, and it's I don't know where you're going to go end up with this, but kind of like backing conditioning into a corner. Because
mm-hmm.
every time it does something, and then you see through that, it's stuck with one less trick to play.
That's right.
And then it has to play another, because if it doesn't, then you're just free to do what will really support you.
That's right.
It has to get in there and try to mess it up. But every time it does that, it risks you seeing how it's doing that.
That's right.
And then saying, no, I'm not buying that one anymore, and just kind of backing it further and further and further into the corner.
Yes, yeah, backing it further and further into the corner. That's my experience of it, too. And the monastery helps with that. I mean, gosh, it's so amazing to see if anybody can manage to do that without the kind of support, because conditioning is so clever at playing the two sides, because
mm-hmm.
it'll play two sides within the structure of too much and too little.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the place in between where I make a commitment to do it. Okay, now it's just like no wiggle room, you know. So I say, hey, this is what I'm doing. It's not 24/7, and it's not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, okay, I'm going to do that. And then, yeah, but you're too tired today. It's not. Well, we were on retreat. You can't possibly do it if we're on retreat, because the schedule's completely different. So you might as well just skip it during retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And then bye bye. It goes, you know, and then the retreat's over, and hey, what happened to that commitment? And it's just back and forth, back and forth within that, just to feel bad about it.
Yeah, it's a battle for Alex.
Who gets
to be with Alex? Mm-hmm. Is it self-hate and conditioning, or is it unconditional love and acceptance, basically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's so neat about, we just did the at-home working meditation yesterday, and the re-emphasis on the point of it's about the practice. It's really not about any of the things that we're doing mm-hmm. during the day. All these things that we're doing during the day are kind of foils, so that there's like some sort of background that conditioning can be like exposed onto.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a police lineup or something like that, you know, like which one is which one's conditioning? You know, spot the mentor. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, who's giving you the real deal and who's leading you astray?
Yeah, like we were talking about yesterday, it's just such a radical mm-hmm. approach to life compared to how we were trained.
Yeah.
That it's not about, like, we have this little blurb that we put up during retreats that's, the working meditation is not about getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning says, what?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
They never said that.
Yeah, but it's just such a radical approach to life that nothing in the content of life actually matters at all.
Right.
The only reason we do that is because we got to be doing something.
Right, so we've got to be bringing the stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have bodies, we're interacting with the environment, so mm-hmm. there's going to be something happening.
Yeah.
So the shift from it's the way to be happy is to get it right on the content
level. That's right.
Mm-hmm. To none of that matters. It doesn't matter at all what happens on the content level. The only approach to life that produces happiness is this, like you said, this is a mirror for me to see how I cause myself to suffer. And so seeing that, I can learn to be in relationship with the being that I am here on this planet and in this life with, mm-hmm. with unconditional love and acceptance.
There's no other finer thing to be doing. I can see that's why we get to that conclusion over and over again mm-hmm. about practice.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is there? I mean, within that context, gosh, there's a whole range of experience available to me.
Mm-hmm.
I experience this emotion, and I see what happens when I experience that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I do this activity, I see what happens as I do that activity.
Yeah, and it's all joyful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From
because
that point,
the process is joyful.
Yeah.
It,
mm-hmm.
it, the process that I'm doing is practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it could be that what has arisen in life to practice with is something that's very painful.
Oh, totally.
Something difficult's happened, or mm-hmm. could it be a physical pain too?
Mm-hmm.
And to be in the relationship that you're talking about with that mm-hmm. is a joyful thing.
Yeah, because I could be in the relationship with that being who is experiencing that, and we... I work together with, I look, you know, so it could be, I research whatever it is that's going on. I find out, you know, mm-hmm. if I eat this, does that happen? Mm-hmm. If I lean my head this way, how do I feel?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes this intimacy with myself that I've just never mm-hmm. been allowed to experience before.
Yeah, it's such a, on a practical level too, it's such a good idea because, mm-hmm. you know, this life of week, it's not going to end well.
Right, it's that ship that we're going up and over the little boat,
yeah.
the boat that sails off and is destined to sink.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, old age, sickness, and death. Mm-hmm. That's what's coming. And so, to have that kind of, that's what I love that word, that intimacy. Mm-hmm. That intimacy with oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And I project onto that, you know, kindness and compassion. Sort of like the power to hold mm-hmm. the being while going through whatever,
yeah.
then you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that. Really, it's all something to look forward to because it's all the experience of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Even all the pain of it, it's all the experience of a human being.
Yeah.
And you know, the art of life, it seems like, is putting ourselves in a position where we can really, where we can be there for that experience
mm-hmm.
instead of being, you know, off in conditioned mind, resisting that. And really getting nothing from it but suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tell me. I had an experience yesterday in the middle of the at-home working meditation retreat. I actually spoke about it in my guidance. And let's speak about it again because it's such an interesting experience that I've never had it before. And I don't, you know, so we had this, a conference call where we were talking on the phone, and I was present in that and was just kind of interacting and listening and feeling really open. And then the next thing was we were going to stop and go meditate. And I got up to move to the next activity. I wasn't going to do it right where I was. I had to move to another place. And what it felt like was I got up and got into a vehicle to go to the next activity. And the vehicle was myself.
So you were aware of a separation between you and who you normally think of as me.
I guess, yeah. It's hard to talk about because the experience was one that came into me kind of viscerally, and then to try and understand, I guess, what's going on, then there's trying to put words to it. And so that's kind of what it felt like. You know, it's like somebody's here and they go out and they open the door and they get in the car and they go. It felt like I stepped up out of the chair where I was talking and I actually got into somebody else, some familiar vehicle, and went to the next place.
So let me see if I'm with you. So normally what would happen would be you would get up and you would get in the vehicle, but you would not be aware that that had happened at all.
I guess that's probably what, probably it does happen all the time like that. Yeah. That
you just become me.
Me.
Going about being me, doing me stuff.
Yeah. Only what happened was I actually experienced that. I did it without any words is what made it so such a unique experience. It just, it was just odd. You know, it was like I had parked this me nearby and was sitting there kind of open and not really anybody.
Not me.
Not anybody in particular. And then I got up and I opened the door, got into me, and went on.
Yeah, it's an interesting conclusion that it's odd. In a way, it is odd, because it's odd that we do that without seeing it.
Yeah.
But, and it's even, you could say it's odd, yeah, it's odd that we don't live in that awareness all the time.
Exactly, yeah.
We become a me, you know, with big quote marks. That's not actually who we are.
Yes.
And we just go around in life thinking that's who we are. That is really, really odd.
Yeah. And it was a unique experience because it just felt exactly like getting up and getting into something to go somewhere. And I imagine that happens a lot. And in the conversation I had about it with guidance, it was pointed out that sometimes it happens that I'm sitting there and something comes in and becomes me. That's more, you know, takes over the being. That's kind of a familiar way. Sometimes I don't actually feel the transition, but suddenly I realize I'm not the same person that was just here a minute ago. You know, but this thing, and I don't know if sometimes I'm disidentified and I get up and walk over to it. I don't know, but that what happened yesterday was just such a odd feeling, you know, to just be standing up and going and getting into this, and I just suddenly felt like I'm in somebody else, somebody that feels like it's me, that the me that has to exist in order to get us to this place we're going to go meditate and to get us back to the phone on time or something like that. I don't know. I'm talking about it now, and it wasn't a talking about experience.
Yeah, fun.
Huh?
Fun, huh?
It was fun. I mean, it really was. It was kind of disorienting, you know. It was like, what's happening, you know? And, you know, as soon as I started kind of trying to make sense of it or, you know, kind of talk about it to myself or whatever, it started changing. But I still could reflect on that experience of getting up from the phone and kind of slipping into this vehicle.
So is it your sense that, that vehicle is necessary or that it's not necessary?
Well, I don't think it is necessary, but I think conditioning. I think it's a habit, maybe. It's a habit, maybe, that in order to Okay, we were just, there was nothing where it was required to do anything there, sitting on that conversation, just to be open and to listen and to go to my experience with.
Yeah, especially because you were talking. Right, didn't you say you were talking on call right before that experience happened?
I did talk on the call, but I wasn't talking on the call shortly before we did that. I was I basically listening, sitting there, just kind of, there wasn't anything expected. I didn't have to, think I had to do anything or be responsible for anything or...
You're just letting the moment guide you.
Exactly. Right? I was just being there.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like your hunch is that applies also when you get up and start moving your body around, that there's nothing expected. It's not necessary to have a relationship with life in order to have things go a certain way, but you could just let the moment guide you and even kind of guide your body.
Exactly, yeah.
Whatever it has to do.
I kind of didn't understand the question when you started off, but yeah, seeing this happen made me, that's what came out of it. It was like, well, why did I have to get into this vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't necessary, and I was in a very lovely place already. Why couldn't I just walk on my feet? And I don't know if I'm saying this kind of metaphorically, but I think that's what the message from the whole thing was.
Yeah. The reason I asked the question is because I could see it going two ways. One, the way we're just talking about, but the other, sometimes we'll talk about how if we're aware of a part of ourselves, but we're not identified with a part of ourselves, how we can kind of use the talents and abilities of that part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wondered if, and I really don't know, it'd be interesting to know for you, or as you look at it, but is it necessary to abandon the vehicle, or is it only necessary to be aware that you're in the vehicle?
That's a good question. That part I don't know yet. I suspect that it's really more of a habit of getting in the vehicle and feeling like the vehicle's needed. Because there was a shift from just being and nothing required to now I have to move my to another physical location to go to my meditation spot. And then not very long after that, there's a guidance appointment. So it was like, somebody needed to coordinate something that wasn't required in the other situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I wondered.
Yeah.
I wonder if the habit is getting in the vehicle, or if the habit is being unaware of getting in the vehicle.
That's a good question.
Because you're just sitting there. I mean, truly, I don't know, but if, just kind of going to my experience, if I'm sitting there or you're sitting there and truly nothing is required but it's just to be, then really nobody needs to be there. There's nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get up and start interacting with life, and then, if you want to go build something, say, again, I really don't know. When we could talk about it as you're just like channeling the knowledge and information that you need, you're channeling the energy that's required, you're channeling the skills that are there through your experience, and all of that is applied to the building the thing.
Yeah.
Or you could talk about it, maybe it's the same thing, you could talk about it as there's somebody within you who knows how to build.
Mm-hmm.
And the practice is remaining present and aware in that, rather than, because you become the person who builds, then you're separate from life.
Yeah.
But if you remain aware, maybe it really is the same thing, if you remain aware of that person, then you're in the position where like all of the experience of that person is available to you and can be applied to whatever situation it is.
So it's not necessary to identify with the vehicle, but to maybe use the vehicle. If there's a need for it, it has a skill set that's applicable. But not to leave the place of open-heartedness or openness and awareness and jump into a habit.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, we'll have to keep looking at it, but I think so. What just occurred to me, you have this vehicle, you have this body, and if you identify with the body, then like you say, you don't stay in that open-hearted, loving, compassionate place. You can't take care of the body if you're identified with the body. You can only, you know, generally, if we're identified with the body, it also means we're identified with a conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. And we're just getting pushed around. The body just gets sacrificed to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, same thing. So, there's, well, you just said it, Billy. So, there's a possibility that we don't have to identify with any aspect of life that's sort of separate or differentiated. But instead, we can stay in that place of presence and openness, and in that, sort of allow the moment to guide us through the manifestation that's there, which could be, you know, your body getting up, moving through space, going to the next thing.
Yeah. That seems like a level of skill to be able to channel. Like you say, the builder. We need the builder now.
I think so.
I'm in awareness, and I can bring that person through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to jump over into the builder and leave awareness.
Yeah, and the good thing about that is when the job's done, you can let the builder go. Mm-hmm.
The builder
and
you can still have a beer or something.
That's a good thing. And you can just be. So when life or the moment doesn't require anything or anybody to interact with it, then you can just be. And then life requires it, and then you respond to that in the way that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just such a fascinating. I never actually felt anything quite like that before, and it just, I mean, you know, I wasn't expecting it or anything. It just happened, and then it was just kind of like, wow, what just happened?
Yeah, it's fun when it's almost physical like that.
It was. It was kind of physical, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amy? I'm looking at something that, just like this, I've been a couple of things people have been talking about. I've been also looking at listening to my guidance recordings. And, it's interesting, something that I've noticed is I start off every single guidance appointment saying, okay, Mom. And I went through the folder on my recorder, just like pressing play and then flipping to the next one and the next one and the next one, just okay,
that's fine.
It feels interesting that it feels like there's someone, almost like getting in the vehicle, there's someone who shows up, and as soon as I sit into that chair for guidance,
that's what they say.
Yeah, that person drops in.
Yeah, it's almost like they're reading lines from a script or something. Okay, well, you know, who do we need here? Okay, we got the guidance person here, and they kind of shove a script into her hand as she heads off into
And it reminds me also of, for years of my life, I went to therapy, and I would be having a certain experience through my week, and then I'd show up to that appointment, and as soon as I sit there, I was the depressed person with all these problems, and that's, and then I get up and leave, and I mean, sometimes I was that person in other places too, but it was like, that's who was always in the therapy appointment.
Yeah, that's who you have, that depressed person had a relationship with your therapist.
Right.
Like, well, we need the right person to be here, okay, the depressed person.
It didn't matter who I was 5 minutes before walking in the door. I kind of caught on to that after a while. And I've sort of been seeing a similar thing here with guidance appointments, where the person who there's a, I guess, a belief or something that I have to utilize this guidance appointment and to bring what's perceived as a problem to guidance, so that I could come up with some kind of solution. And this is my one shot at it.
Yeah. So that's the vehicle, isn't it?
And
did you relate to that, what we were saying a minute ago? Mm-hmm. So you've gotten into the vehicle, and that's just the point of view of the vehicle, and that's what the vehicle is going to do.
And I had an interesting experience at my last guidance appointment where I did that. I said the okay, and then before I launched into anything, I noticed that grapevines in the arbor had been trimmed.
Wait a second.
The thorn has been trimmed, and I'm so completely different.
Yeah, I just jerked you right out of it.
And that was pointed out to me, that I had just made this shift in attention, and then it was just right back to, okay, where was
okay,
I? That guidance appointment, and just watching that shift, and it was just like, oh, wait a minute, right back into the story of what I should be talking about in my guidance appointment.
Yeah, that's so powerful, isn't it? Just to see that that's how it works. You know, that's not real. That person who says, okay, and then launches into, you know, trying to make the most out of the guidance appointment, that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a habit. You know, that's just, you know, the vehicle. You just jump and think, okay, we know how to drive this thing.
Yeah, and what's arising is maybe the identity, I don't know. It's just like, well, so what should I do with my guidance appointment?
That probably is the idea.
I have this guidance appointment, I should be using it for...
Well, what if it was an opportunity to experiment? Mm-hmm. I could imagine, put five or six possibilities in a hat of who you might be. Pick one out as you're heading into the guidance.
The script ready, that does not start with okay on it.
There you go. Yeah, you could try okay. Really anything that's different.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love that because, you know, as an attitude of mind or approach to life, that is so much fun. You know, life is a great big experiment. And, you know, we catch on. We don't know what our deal is. I mean, we just do it over and over and over again. So anything that's different from that is interesting. So we start just throwing things in the way, you know. So I always put my left shoe on first. I'm going to put my right shoe on first. Just try to shape things up. Or let's do things in reverse order. Or let's decide I'm going to be this person instead of that person. You know, just anything to try to shake up the system and get a glimpse, like happened for you, it sounds like my guidance appointment, of what else is there other than that conditioned habit that we fall into all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was sort of interesting too, because I sort of saw it as it was happening, that I was going right back into the story, but I was like, I didn't know what else to do. Where do I go from here? Like, I popped out, but then it was
now
like,
what?
Well, now what?
Yeah. Now, of course, the one thing we can always do is, I'm going back in. And then I'll pop it back in again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's, I mean, really, it's like what we were talking about earlier, and I can think what you're demonstrating right now. If we can say what's going on, then it's just really hard to believe it. It's hard to just kind of slide right back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's something we can do.
Okay. I really like this conversation. I started saying I love this conversation, then I switched to somebody else who usually probably talks in groups and things, but somebody told me, I don't know, in guidance one time when that happens, to just say, like, wow, you know, kind of what's going on in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, I just popped out. Now I'm going back in, and now, mm-hmm. wow, I feel that sensation in my stomach, and
mm-hmm.
now I feel really weird. I'm here, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking.
Just keeping an eye on condition, keeping it out there where you can see it.
Yeah. Or whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, look at the grape arbor
mm-hmm.
and the leaves mm-hmm. and how they twinkle.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking the way I talk about this thing that we're talking about is my experience of it is that I'm really not doing it. So something, I'm being walked. So my conditioning thinks I'm me most of the time, that I'm doing my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking to you, or I'm parenting the kids, or I'm going on a walk, or whatever.
And I, in quotes, is doing that.
Yes, me, the really me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have the experience that I think Cameron was pointing at, it seems like that it isn't me. In fact, it's something way bigger than me that's actually even walking me. You know, I've talked about this a lot, being in sashim,
mm-hmm.
and having the experience of, oh my God, I'm not walking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not walking. I am a body that's being walked, and I have believed I've been walking for a lot of years,
mm-hmm.
but really I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, I don't know if it's different drivers that jump in, you know, like the different personalities, if I would talk about it that way, but somebody jump, you know, so I can relate with what was being talked about in guidance with how I relate to people. You know, I have certain people or situations in my life where I become an identity, and mm-hmm. someone jumps into their role and sort of drives me.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting about that is, so, life living you.
Right.
But that's not just one experience. In other words, it's you don't just have one the same experience every time whenever that's happening.
Yeah.
If you're like me, I'm gonna be
real. Yeah, no.
But you could be having all kinds of different emotions. You could be having physical responses. You could be doing different kinds of behaviors. You know, all kinds of stuff could be going on, and it's still life living you.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we believe it's not life living. You know, we
right.
believe it's us
exactly.
a lot of times, just because we're, I guess, you know, call it identified or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's really what's going on. I think that life is living us all the time, and ego conditioning comes in and says it's it.
Yeah,
and then we believe it's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we beat ourselves up, and we feel bad because it's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come to a place like this which says, oh, that's not really you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really you. You believe it's you, but it's not really you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the experience of, oh my God, there is no I. There is no me. There's just this body being lived by something, God, you know, something bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And
nothing needs to be different.
Right.
Like, we don't have to get rid of those.
Right.
We don't have to do anything about those emotions.
Because I don't think it looks any different.
Mm-hmm.
Personally. I don't know what your experience is, but I think life's living me all the time. And so, it's just life. There's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think much of the time it would look actually the same. I'd still be yelling at my kids. I'd still be, know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is we take it personally. We think we've done something. You know, there's some judgment that comes in, and there's mm-hmm. stories, and then we start getting bogged down. I remember one time, you know, Sherry. You know, one time she said something. I don't know what my kids were. She said, "Why don't you just hit them?" Oh my God! No, the appropriate response is not to hit children anymore. Read the book.
So let me see if I'm with you. So I think what you're saying is, so we've been playing around this thing since the April retreat, which I have, about the being, you know, the being who's here living this life. So kind of no matter what happens, the being is going through life, being lived by life, going through whatever kind of karmically the being needs to go through mm-hmm. to get wherever the being's going.
Yes.
And that's happening no matter what.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. That really the only choice we have is between being aware that that's happening
mm-hmm.
and we could say loving, accepting mm-hmm. the being and the experiences of the being's happening while that's going on,
mm-hmm.
or not being aware that that's what's happening, identifying with the being, and then judging, resisting, disliking whatever mm-hmm. the experiences are.
Yes, and my experience is that when we're with the being, being lived by life, that it's much freer, you know, it's much more, I don't know, smooth, but it's, you know, that I never surfed, but it's kind of like that idea of just, riding,
mm-hmm.
riding in a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, cool.
Riding in a vehicle.
You
yeah.
know, look what I'm seeing. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And there I am, just being lived. And,
I think in that we are life.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, I think we believe, what happens is we get identified and forget.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're separate. I mean, that's our programming, is to be separate from life. So we might even say, it's not just the case that no matter what, the being is being lived by life and having the experiences that the being is having or is going to have or however you look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is that going on no matter what, but we are life no matter what.
That's what, yes.
And so we are that which is sort of hard to talk about, but almost like the awareness of that's happening inside of, or the container that's happening inside of, or something else. And then the only thing that's possible other than that is to believe an illusion
mm-hmm.
that that's not what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only choice we have.
Mm-hmm. Which for me, much of the time, is where it feels as if I live, is believing that me, believing that illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Or forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting to just it's just not, I don't know. The thing that stood out for me the most was, it's, I'm not doing any of this.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if the experience of believing that, that you're separate from life is the same as everything else?
Right.
So that's part of what the being does.
That's what the being does.
Mm-hmm.
Or what? Now that is interesting. I would say that that is part of what. Yeah. Now see, it's trickier for me because it's like karma or original sin or whatever, you know, different religion. But that's the thing that sort of takes me. That's the thing that takes me into believing. Like, that's just what a being does, but I don't know if that's what life does.
No, but see, what I think what we're talking about is, you are not the, that which believes
right.
you're separate.
Yes.
You are that which is life that can see what's actually going on.
Yes.
So a part of what's possible as a human being is to experience itself as separate from life.
Right.
And if we see that as the same as, it's same as a part of what goes on for a being is to get stressed out about the kids.
Right. Oh, right.
It's exactly the same thing. So we can be in the same relationship as life with that.
Yes.
Watching the being become identified.
Right.
Letting go.
Yes.
As with anything else.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We can have that perspective of just watching it and, mm-hmm. and knowing it's not us. And wow, there I am. And I think that's me a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But really, I'm this. It's, yeah. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So yeah, I'd like to keep playing with it. You know, there's this huge belief of, all right, how do I get to that Thanksgiving fishing, which I am working on. But there is, you know, what was pointed out about being at the monastery. It is a really good place to really recall that.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because for me, I do think the potential out in life is huge. You know, kids can become the work director. The dishes can become working meditation, mm-hmm. not, mm-hmm. you know, when we have kind of training here, you know, mm-hmm. can really go out and things can, rather than taking us out, can begin to push us back in.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think that it is helpful.
Good to come to every once in a while.
Where you really are silent and just have to mm-hmm. really...
Well, you really get to practice that movement. Because that's,
yeah.
I mean, you, even just in this conversation, it's obvious what a subtle thing
yeah.
that is, because it's just about impossible to talk about.
Right.
Yeah, but we can practice it.
Yeah.
Really, you know, when Cameron was kind of started this part of the conversation, too, we can practice that. I mean, we can practice that, separation is not exactly the right word, because usually we use that word to imply something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we're going for, but kind of.
Yeah.
You know, separation from that which we believe in,
right.
that we think is...
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, but we just have to keep backing it up and backing up, because
mm-hmm.
I am not that which believes that I'm separate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I am not that which will judge or punish me for believing that I'm separate.
Mm-hmm.
I will not.
Right.
I am not that which will think that I'm not doing practice for judging or punishing.
Right. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. So there I am. Wait, I am that which is. You know, then it's the ego slips right in and starts saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that which believes I'm only animated by life, or whatever.
I just love that. I mean, talk about, I mean, something worth giving a life to.
Totally.
That mystery.
Yeah.
Just, it's just that place where, again, can't really talk about it, but that place which there is no I,
mm-hmm.
from which all of this makes sense, and it's all completely okay.
Isn't that funny? Because I think, you know, at least when I started to practice, I'm going to get to that place where I see all that.
Mm-hmm. Never going
to happen. So we get to that place where we see that that's not what's going on, and we just sort of smile and twinkle for a minute, and then boom.
There we go.
Ah, you're stuck. How to go? How to get back there?
Yeah. I think, you know, something that seems really significant in what we're talking about, we talked about this earlier, is just to not get confused that what we're going for is... It anyway needs to change
mm-hmm.
what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think people generally idealize that in the beginning, as we start to see kind of the difference between identity and non-identity,
mm-hmm.
that what we're going for is some kind of like empty space.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we're going for is having this one feeling
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Right.
You know, with bliss or whatever. But that's not it at mm-hmm. all. Yeah, that's just conditioning.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful now. Before, I used to, when she would say that, or you guys would say that, I'd just be like, oh my God, you're right. You know, I'm still going for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still have, you know, I still want a certain feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of fun because, wow, I just want to, project because I just want to see how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And be with this incredible person who's willing to live in this life, you know, be born into this life. And
Yeah, oneness with God is the same thing as oneness with frustration with the kids.
Yeah, it seems like it. Unless I'm hating myself for being frustrated, which is a thing I was looking at as I came down this morning. And it's so nice to say the daily recollection. For whatever reason, you know, I'm saying the compassion, all the compassion things 10 times, hearing that word.
Mm-hmm.
It took me to that place of, wow, I don't have to get rid of this.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you.
No, it's not me. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, it's just the being who you happen to be tagging along with.
Yeah, and I get the opportunity to love and the compassion for her and all the people and all the
things.
So the content that is, I just am starting to see that it would be possible to see as a process and not real, is anxiety and stuff to do.
Okay.
And
you're in a really popular club with that one.
And I mean, it's kind of crazy to say this, but I think for a really long time I believed if I got the stuff done, it would be handled. And
despite experience to the contrary?
Despite exactly. It's as if, you know, all these years, it's as if it's still believable even though it never happened.
You're almost there.
Yeah.
Probably will be today or tomorrow.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
And so just starting the process of looking at it as a process instead of believing the content. You know, because it's so, I mean, it's almost embarrassing to go, okay, now I'm going to look at it like this then. I'm going to try this angle. Why not? None of the other ones have worked.
Yeah, it would be embarrassing, except we're all there. that's what we're all doing.
Except for the, you know, the last year, I'm like, well, I've been practicing 20 years. Okay, I've been practicing 20 years. Now I'm going to try process on this one.
Well, I bet you it'll always be that way.
They'll always be the next thing. They'll be like, maybe I'll try process on that too.
Yeah, that we don't get yet, or that we're not we're
right.
Going to. Mm-hmm.
I bet so.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. So the pattern that I see, and there was this thing that someone said yesterday in the at home work day. Those days are so unbelievably helpful for me.
Oh, good.
I would like to do one every week for the next 5 years.
Okay.
I think I might get somewhere.
All right, well, you organize it. We'll see what we can do.
It's quite an organizational feat, I suspect. Two things. That when someone said, well, when I focus on process instead of content, it's really helpful. I was like, oh, yes, that is really helpful. And the other thing is someone said, well, I start, and I don't even know if this is what they said, but this is what I heard. Well, I set an intention in a period to see how I cause myself to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just an astounding concept.
Yeah. Well, earlier we were talking about like that radical shift in attitude of mind. I think that's what it is. Instead of approaching life as, okay, I got to get this done because then they'll take care of the anxiety. Rather than having that be the intention is I'm going to see something in this next period of time.
Right. And I'm so at the beginning of this that I don't even have anything I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Except that, which is huge, right?
That is kind of huge, isn't it?
That it's a process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that. I still wake up really early, no matter what time I go to bed, and I still lay there until the anxiety starts, and then I get up.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the content again.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of tagging this to the previous conversation. So if you were life with that being who's experiencing that, what would you want for that being, or how would you do, or how would you help that being?
Well,
Well, what I see is that I'm so in relationship with trying to avoid that feeling mm-hmm. that I can't see that.
Right. So that's not life.
Right.
Right. That's part of the system, you might say, that produces suffering.
Right.
So your attention is involved with trying to avoid that experience.
Right.
And that makes that larger place we've been talking about unavailable, where you might be able to actually. I mean, we don't want to set up that you could do something, because that's just more of the same.
Right.
But if you could really maybe see what's really going on.
Right.
Perhaps
right.
you could love that person through that experience, or whatever it might be that would be needed.
Well, that would be a step.
Mm-hmm.
Just that would be a step.
Mm-hmm.
And in loving the person through the experience, it might open the doorway to being able to see what goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet it would.
Because
yeah.
there's got to be a lot of steps in there between fine and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, of course, if you approach it trying to see something like that, then that's not it.
Right.
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 So that's a tricky
it's
part.
It's amazing how untrue this whole thing is. Just astounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. The other way we look at it is it's a really a fruitful practice place.
It is.
Because what it's asking you to see the difference between your conditioned response to the experience you're having and an unconditioned response to the experience you're having.
Well, I could just start there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I need to start much more simply than that. I'm just going to start with caring for the person who's having the experience.
There you go.
I'm going to start there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know.
All right. Sequoia.
I just heard myself say, it's very common for me too.
Let's take them on as a group project. If you want to?
Yeah.
See if we can eliminate them.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say, go ahead, start with them. So.
Well, same difference. Equally helpful. Yeah. So, what was it?
Okay. I'm okay. Maybe just start with I'm okay. It was great this morning, as usual. And one of the things I watched is in the sharing about that experience of just having that visceral reaction of getting into a vehicle
mm-hmm.
and describing that whole thing about just, you know, being in awareness and then actually getting into an identity too. I've never had that experience, but some place inside of me knew that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I bet you had that experience.
Oh, I think that's very...
Many, many, many times.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I would have never acknowledged that
mm-hmm.
without that sharing this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that through the whole morning. This is very common in identity that very much wants to share, and she just gets told no because you don't know what you're gonna, you don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, wow, I could actually just let her share and not be her and sit with her on my lap.
There it is, right there. Son of a gun.
Son of a gun. I could just let her, you know,
mm-hmm.
on her way through her share if she needs to, but, mm-hmm. you know, just to be with her. And it was just like this whole new, it felt like this new aha
mm-hmm.
that was possible for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, it's amazing how simple it actually is and becomes when we just kind of boil it down. Because we've been talking about it all different kinds
exactly.
of ways this morning, but that's basically what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The you know, difference between being her and yeah. being someone who loves her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, hallelujah. Thank you.
June.
My content is something I talked about a couple of weeks ago. About having a belief that if I don't do the work that I'm doing first thing in the morning, certainly before noon, that my ability to do it decreases radically.
Mm-hmm.
And So today's discussion has been really, really helpful. I'm talking about it with Milter here, but I want to get rid of it.
Good to fess up front.
It doesn't serve me or anyone to have that belief. It's very limiting. And yet it feels like it's based on something real. And so I think as a result of listening this morning, I can just push the limit. Perhaps the energy, the kind of creative focused energy, does diminish with use after a few hours. You know, energy moves. Mm-hmm. I think what we've been talking about this morning is energy moving. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it slows down, but does it go away? Mm-hmm. Does
or
it
maybe
make the work that's getting done less good, in quotes, just because it's slower?
Mm-hmm. Or how much of that would actually be your experience if conditioning wasn't involved with it?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, what if conditioning, conditioning is always in there manipulating the energy. Like you said, it's an interesting way to look at what we've been talking about this morning, is energy moving. It really is. That really is what we're talking about, just from a completely different point of view. So a different way of talking about conditioning is that which is trying to manage our energy all the time. Because if it can manage it, if it can get it to go in the channels that it chooses for us, then it uses that energy to create itself. So without conditioning, a relationship with conditioning around that energy, who knows what kind of patterns it would take.
That's excellent. Would you say that again using the being, talking about the being?
Yeah, if the being is in relationship with you, instead of in a relationship with conditioning. So right now, I think in the way it's karmically set up, the being is in a relationship with conditioning. Conditioning manages the energy of the being in a way that reflects it so that it survives. So, and that's probably, so you could say in a way that it is true that that is what happens, or that energy diminishes. And again, we don't know why, but it could be, partly could be because conditioning is in there messing with it. So instead of conditioning being in relationship with the being, if you're in relationship with the being, who knows how that energy could manifest? It could be that it could manifest in ways that would not fall into anything you would call your experience, just because it hasn't been free of that relationship with conditioning. Tell me this is what I think what you're looking at is what we were talking about earlier, of being in a place of, like that place of not I with it, where you can allow the experience and the life energy and all that of the being to manifest as it will, instead of the relationship that conditioning would get you in with it,
right.
Where,
okay, yeah, I've got a job to do, I've got a deadline to meet.
There you go.
Arrange my insights to the past.
Right, there you go. Yeah. So without that, who knows? But now, of course, we don't want to. Well, that's not. I was going to bring a baby with a bathwater. That's not a very good image. We don't want to. Whatever that would be without that image, we don't want to just chuck it all, because to give over that way of surviving. Without that presence, which we were talking about earlier, is light, the, in relationship with that being, that's going to be, that could be really traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if that light is there with that being, then we don't need that survival anymore.
Yeah.
And the manifestation is going to happen in a way that's safe and is going to really take care of. It's a kind of a fun place to practice.
It's another hectic job.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In other words, a completely different way of saying it. We don't want to give it over to conditioning. You know, it's not a should, it's no expectations, it's not another job to do that we have to kind of figure be somebody to do. It seems like it's just more of a, well, it's not anything we really talked about.
Right.
It's just seeing the difference between that, you know, that conditioned self-hate, self-hating relationship with the being, and that which we can't talk about, which is not that. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you all.